You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com. I'm joined by two guests, Chris Forsberg from ESPN and Fred Katz from the Norman Transcript. He's a Thunder writer. He's fantastic. Everybody should go follow him on Twitter at Fred Katz.
You give him the big talk up and I get nothing?
Well, everyone knows you. Every Celtics person
knows you. Yeah, but you can still say
you.
I'm fantastic.
Okay, Chris Forsberg is also fantastic.
Horrible agenda.
What is the ruling on the much... Set it up.
Before we get to Celtics talk, before we get to Thunder preview, we have to talk about our Jenga match. So
we need a ruling.
We had a Jenga match. It was an adult Jenga board. not like the little kid set.
Adult Jenga makes it sound like it's like kind of racy.
It was adult Jenga though. And Forsberg lost.
No. This is terrible. This is terrible setup.
We'll put it to the people.
First off, let me set it up. First off, it was the most epic game of Jenga in the history of Jenga. Like, 27 moves before the game ended, I thought it was over. And yet we each kept, somehow, some way, finding a way to put the next block on top. And so there was a point at the end of this Jenga game whereby I...
Whereby
I took... a block out, and it might have teetered a little bit. I was able to successfully place the block on top, steadied it, and walked away with my arms raised.
With your back turned to the Jenga.
There was at least a 5-second count where Jay was on the clock for his turn, and yet, when it toppled, I somehow was blamed for the loss.
I
haven't touched it yet.
We have not Googled the rules, but I'm assuming that within a certain time frame...
There is no time frame. If you put the block there and it falls over, it's on you. I hadn't touched it yet. You are the Nick Young of Jenga. You were celebrating.
You were celebrating
a shot that didn't go in.
You gotta hold on to the ball through the catch.
First off, we're outdoors, so the elements are at play.
Yeah, it was not at all windy.
So there has to be a time limit. After I placed that block and it has successfully stayed, I would say there's a 5 count. Now, we have not Googled the rules of Jenga to find out how long you have to maintain, how long you have to hold to have gotten the completion.
Can we talk about first,
no,
before we get to that, how you actually had to hold up the entire Jenga tower?
It might have been illegal. Yet again, so, I'm hoping that Jenga has their rules online because there's a lot of questions about this game. Until we can get an official Jenga ruling from the Jenga League office, I am going to assume I have won. If you would like to protest the game,
that is a ludicrous assumption. Place
the piece.
Ludicrous assumption.
But no. It would either be nobody won or you lost. There's no scenario in which you won.
There's no way nobody lost. Jay was on the clock. In my mind...
Who was before you?
Fred was.
So Fred won.
No!
It's the last person to get a...
Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's who wins.
Well, why would that... That was
crazy. I mean, I'll count it as a win for myself
I made the winning move.
In my mind, is in Jenga, there's no winners. It's just one loser.
that might be the case. Anyway,
that's a great sport. Nobody wins, one person loses, and then you all debate after about who actually was.
That sounds like sports to me.
Jenga rules. I'm Googling it right now.
You might need to get a Jenga league for ESPN. Tell your company about that, Forsberg. Tell your company about that. All right, so Celtics play the Thunder. They both have great defenses. So, and I'm really curious about the Thunder, actually. Obviously, they have Paul George, they have Carmelo Anthony, they have Russell Westbrook. We got Fred Katz here, who, again, is fantastic at covering the Thunder.
Just at that. Nothing else.
No, there's literally nothing else he's fantastic at. But what have been your initial thoughts of the team? Obviously, it's a fascinating mix, but how good is this team going to be, do you think?
I think they're really good. It's very obvious that they're coming together now offensively. Like, Russell Westbrook is really kind of trying to piece through and try to figure out how to be a facilitator, but he really is making that obvious effort. Like, I think it was Michael Gallagher who tweeted out the other day that he's at 4 games now with a usage rate under 30% in their first 7 games.
Which is a hilarious, hilarious.
But he had 4 games standard all of last year with a usage under 30%.
But still, like, 30% is so high.
It's really high.
I'm sorry.
We got Forsberg coming in with Jenga rules.
All right.
He's very excited about this. I think he believes he wins.
Your turn ends 10 seconds after
you. It wasn't 10 seconds.
Oh, it was very
There's
close.
No way
it wasn't 10 seconds.
I had time to
There's
snap,
no way it was 10 seconds.
Celebrate. It was not 10 seconds.
There's no way it was 10
the
seconds.
The turn ends
you
when
are
you let go.
The
hold
Nick
on.
Young
whoa. You have the video.
No, I stopped the video.
Yeah, but you could at least tell how long, like, from my stack until I start walking away.
I mean, it was like 2 seconds.
No way.
Wait, no, let's send this to Secaucus and see what's up. How lucky is Secaucus to
your
have
turn
the,
ends
the 10 video
seconds
review
after you stack your block or as soon as the player to your left touches one? Did you touch it at all?
No.
No, he did not touch it. If he touched it, this would not be, it would be on Jay.
I'm currently watching the video. This is great podcasting.
We should put it up as an accompaniment.
No other podcast will you immediately jump from usage rate to video review of a podcast.
It was 2 seconds you walked away.
No, I'm still screaming.
5 seconds.
No.
You can see it start to fall.
It's not falling.
You can see it start to fall.
No, my hand is still on it.
You can see it start to fall.
I think
officially the Nick.
I think we got to let your Twitter followers decide it.
We'll put up a poll with
the podcast. Yeah,
I might have to put up the video, put up a poll.
Yeah, it's got to be the move.
You be the judge.
Let the people be the judge.
That's got to be the move. Because no one's playing Jenga with a clock.
Yeah. Anyway, Russell Westbrook. Very high usage, but not quite as high a usage.
No, but like reasonably high. Like last year was literally the highest usage rate in the history of usage rate.
Yes.
This year it's just kind of reasonably high, which is fine. Like he should be. We're still watching the replay. He should have a high usage rate. He's really good. Like you don't want him to be at 20%. If he's in that like 26 to 30% sweet spot, like that's fine. When he's playing alongside Paul George and Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony, and that's kind of what he's been at this year. And I think he's still kind of feeling it out. There were moments earlier in the year, like the Utah game, which was their second or third game of the year. It was weird. Like he had 6 points and 7 turnovers.
Yeah, that's weird.
Such a weird game, and he looked like he just didn't look like the usual Russ. But last couple games, like he's had 12 points in each of them, and they've both been triple-double games. And he's just been kind of – he's really looked like an incredible facilitator because he's a great passer when he wants to be. And if he can figure that out and still kind of be that explosive guy, like he could really be dominant in this style. Like he's still – he hasn't looked like himself, and he's still averaging 20, 12, and 10.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's solid. It's very solid.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that whole team is so weird to me, and Russell Westbrook especially to me is so fascinating because he had one of the best, like triple double wise, he was unmatched.
Yeah.
Last year he was ridiculous, but like just the way he fits with top players is just confounding.
Yeah,
because. Can he do it? Can he actually do it? And so that's why the Thunder to me are one of my favorite teams to watch this year because I'm just excited to see whether they can put it together, whether Russell specifically can put it together, and whether those other two guys can work off him. But the defense,
The defense is always there. That defense is unbelievable. How you've talked about, you talked a lot about Steven Adams tonight before the podcast.
Oh yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts on Steven Adams.
Steven Adams is really good, man. Everyone talks about like the big three with the Thunder, but Steven Adams has gotten really good. Like he is an excellent defensive player at this point. And I think the way that they've been using him defensively, last year they just kind of pretty consistently had him come up to the level of the screen on pick and roll defense, and it was because he was a pretty versatile defender, and he had a really nice defensive season. He had some inconsistent stretches during the second half, but like still looking at that video.
I just want to point out for the sake of posterity, ready? My hand comes off.
At 18. At 18 seconds.
Like, but at like a quick 18.
No, that was 18.
Okay, but 18.
A quick and 18.
Then 26, it's still standing. So that's at least
no,
8 seconds.
No, it's toppling though. It's toppling.
It's not toppling in your hand.
No, but here's the question.
It's not even moving.
You're
telling me that within 2 seconds that fell? No
is
way.
Is it 10 seconds at the time that it hits, they all hit the ground? Or is it 10 seconds at the time that it starts?
Because it definitely, within the 10 seconds, it started to topple.
Hold on.
Because falling could have different definitions.
Forsberg is very interested.
I hate to like ruin your podcast with this, but I'm very intrigued.
I think the podcast.
I think ultimately,
let's be real, you know.
Ultimately, we'll just put this to bed. I won.
Oh man, Steven Adams.
They've used him a bunch of different ways in pick and roll, like. Against Milwaukee, he was coming up high, showing really high against the screen, and he was just keeping Giannis both at the middle of the floor and away from the rim. Like, Giannis went into that game averaging 24 points per game in the paint, which is literally the highest since they've been keeping track of that stat, and he only took 5 shots at the rim. And part of that is because Andre Robertson is a really good defender and Paul George is a really good defender, and they did a great job on him, keeping him out of the middle and away from the paint. But part of it was also that Steven just wasn't letting him turn the corner on pick and rolls. Like, he has become a really, really excellent – and he defends the rim, too. And he has just become, I think, one of the best defensive centers in the league at this point. He's been around forever, so people kind of forget. He's only 24. Like, he's only 24 years
That's
old.
That's crazy.
Like, he's not close to his prime yet.
Do you think
he's still improving.
Do you think he and Aaron Baines will have a fist fight during the middle of the game?
I'm gonna ask him about Aaron Baines' a cheat around tomorrow.
Yeah, because Aaron Baines, for those who don't know, was born in New Zealand – where Steven Adams is from, but now claims Australia. He has played for Australia, the Australian national team. He's an Australian, even though he was born in New Zealand. So there might be some beef there. And anyways,
Steven is very open about his dislike for Australia. All the time.
Even if there's no beef, those two guys will probably fight. Those two guys.
Steven never fights, but he always instigates fights.
See, that's what I'm saying. Baines is kind of the same way. He's just a happy guy who just likes to have physical altercations.
Yes.
Not altercations. Like, he doesn't actually fight people, but he'll bump people and make people mad. And,
oh, yeah. Chris Middleton got so frustrated with Steven Adams in the last game that he just... Blatantly threw the ball at him.
And then Chris Middleton wanted nothing of that. Chris Middleton was like, I kind of screwed up there.
Because Steven is huge.
I'm looking forward to the Baines versus Adams matchup. That is one of my favorite matchups of the year so far. I think those guys are just going to have a lot of man time together.
They're both so physical.
A lot of man time. I don't even know what that means. They're just gonna bump each other, be very physical with each other.
A lot of man time. That should be a term.
Man time. Yeah.
It'll work.
If you're very
like
physical,
like when Oakley and Rodman would go at it, just ultimate man
time. Just man time.
Tons of man time.
A lot of man time.
Whole game, 48 minutes of man time.
Or when you're playing Jenga with your buddies.
Could be anything.
Yeah. So have you watched the Celtics at all?
I have watched the Celtics.
What are your initial thoughts on the Celtics?
He's ahead of Pop. Pop does not watch
other teams before like the All-Star break. So if you ever ask him about other teams, he's like, yeah, I haven't seen them.
It's kind of brilliant, though.
I don't know whether it's real or whether
like,
he just says
not real.
That.
Of course. Like, I mean, he has to have some semblance. Like,
he might not. He might have other people give him reports of teams. and just work
Steve,
on his own
Steve Kerr's kid.
Yeah, Steve Kerr's kid does work for the Spurs, yeah.
I think he watches it.
I would assume so.
Russell Westbrook says he hasn't watched
it. He's got to check it on Brad.
I can believe that.
He watches Celtics film and he watches Orlando film for Vogel.
All right, but what are your initial thoughts of the Celtics? From an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, from an outsider's perspective. From a Jenga loser's perspective.
Jenga winners. From a Jenga winner's perspective, I would say, I mean, they're really good. They're really good. Kyrie makes a lot of sense for them. Like, and I don't, we were kind of talking about it before. I don't really understand how they're so good defensively. Like, Marcus Smart is obviously an awesome defender. And I think Al Horford is a great pick and roll defender. But, like, it's amazing that they're number one in defensive efficiency to me right now, that they're that high.
Yeah.
After they kind of, I thought they were going to be top five in defense last year and they underperformed.
Yep.
And they had so much defensive talent on that team.
I predicted they were going to be number one in defense last year.
I may have done that too.
This year I predicted they were going to be an average defense. So, so I'm very good at predicting.
JK, good at his job.
I may have done that too. Tatum is a lot better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, he's good.
See, last year didn't make any sense. And that's why, even coming into this year, I said they're going to be a good defensive team because, for whatever reason, last year it didn't work out. And so it doesn't make any sense that they lose their two best defenders in Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, and somehow they are better. But that's just the way Brad works, right? Like, he got these big, long, lengthy guys who have huge arms, and now they're better defensively.
They also have a lot of plus defenders, though, when you think about it. Like, Horford, Baines... Mm-hmm. Smart.
And Horford's on like another level this year. Like, he's always been good, but you can tell he's just like, it was weird last year when he kept saying, you know, I'm still getting comfortable. And it was like game 75. You're like, Al, you've been here for 7 months. How are you not comfortable?
Yeah.
But he legitimately took time to get comfortable here. And now you can see it. Now he's like barking up. Him and Baines are like screaming at their other guys, like, because they have to. Because Jaylen Brown still doesn't know always where to be, and Jason Tatum needs help, but these two guys are directing traffic, and it's working.
Yeah, and then, like, Smart, obviously, he's a plus defender off the bench. Rozier, he's a plus defender. Brown and Tatum have been better than anyone really expected.
Rozier's a much better defender now than he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's actually a really good defender now.
Yeah, he's kind of a dog. Like, he'll get up in you and, like, I feel like when he goes against like a two, he'll like get up in a guy's chest.
He's gotten good. And they'll switch him on anyone. They'll switch him on fours. Yeah. They'll switch him on post guys. Like,
well, my favorite is when they switch Smart onto big guys.
Yeah.
Like, watching Marcus Smart guard a big guy is like one of my favorite.
Everyone tries to post him up and it never works out.
I know. They Marcus Smart, I think it was his rookie year. Brad Stevens for like a full quarter had him guard Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was amazing. Like, Kristaps kept trying to post him up, and he was just like, his face was staring right into his butt.
Marcus missed the Knicks game, and people were like, oh, we don't get to see him guard Kristaps.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest compliment you can get.
It reminded me of, like, the 2014 playoffs. When
Rondo guarding LeBron?
Well, I was going to say Chris Paul guarding Durant for game four of game five of that series. Because he guarded him very similarly. Durant... You put them on those guys, you go those bigger guys into post-ups. But they just they do those mid-range post-ups where they don't want to get too close to the basket because then they can't create. So they do it around, like, the elbow. And Durant was doing it to Chris Paul in that game, and Kristaps was doing that Smart in that game. And, like, then you just kind of get them in that awkward area, and they end up shooting 14-foot fadeaways. And you can trap guys easily in those spots, too, when they're kind of in stable moments. And that it was, like, that was awesome to watch because Smart is so...
Plus, the Celtics have a secret weapon. Shemi Ojeleye.
And Tice.
Swoljeleye.
And Tice.
And Tice. It boggles my mind that they just went to Germany and were like, this guy could be a double-double guy.
What's crazy is he averaged like 9-5 last year in Germany.
And now he's 10-10 the last game. In 18 minutes.
But...
Shemi is like,
everyone knew Shemi was.
I don't know if I thought you knew he had the build that he was going to be a willing defender.
But I think around the NBA, people thought that's a guy who was probably better
eventually
than the 30.
But like, did you think they were going to be like,
pick.
Gogard, Giannis, and Porzingis, and LeBron in your first three games of the season.
No. Well, the issue with him was always lateral quickness.
Yeah. No, he's super quick. Lateral.
No, he's I know that. But the issue, like
in coming out?
Yeah, coming out. Like, the concerns with him were lateral quickness and flexibility. Because dude is an outrageous athlete, and he's just massive. Like, his shoulders are just huge.
It's fascinating.
And, like, the issue with him was always that's why he fell. It was
scouts
was the
told me
about
like
flexibility
the steal rate and the block rate weren't good, and it's like, who cares? He can guard anyone. He stays in front of.
If I get in the 20s, he's the guy who I wanted the Thunder to take. I thought he would have been a very good player.
Bouncing off of him.
The
like
other
trying.
Day, he stayed in front of De'Aaron Fox and forced a jumper. Like, he's guarded Giannis, he's guarded Porzingis, he's guarded everybody. They put him on all the best.
It's unreal.
Threes, fours, whatever. Like,
it's got a little Justice Winslow in him.
That's a little bit of a sore spot for Danny Ainge. We can't pretend. Although, if he got in Justice Winslow, he would not have gotten his favorite, Terry Rozier. And Terry will be if Danny Ainge eventually trades every single person on the Celtics roster, Terry Rozier will be the cockroach. He will not be traded.
He will be the
loves. Terry Rozier.
That Justice Winslow. Everyone talks about the Justice Winslow trades, though. Like. They wouldn't have been that good.
Yeah, that would have been a bad trade.
Yeah,
although like Danny doesn't make bad trades, so somehow it would have worked out.
Justice Winslow would have become like superstar.
But yeah, Winslow would be like
I would be willing to believe that if he weren't already in a really good organization.
It would have been Justice Wins High.
Justice Wins.
That was bad. That
Justice
was bad.
Wins a lot.
Shut up.
Oh man. Justice Wins High. That was probably my lowest moment on this podcast.
No, I liked it. I liked it. You know me. I like bad name play. So
this is true.
Well, July.
This is true. All right. So Gordon Hayward also had a press conference today.
Press conference. Very intriguing.
Yeah.
After his 3,600 word blog entry, that
blog post. The best part of that blog post was Gordon Hayward saying that Brad Stevens strapped him to his back and carried him out of the airplane and would not allow other people to carry him out of the airport.
I just love it because we know how much Brad cares. Like, Brad cares about all of his guys. But he clearly has a past relationship with Gordon, and he has gone out of his way. And I do believe he would have done this with no matter who it was that got injured. But the fact that it's Gordon and the fact that he understands how hard he worked. And
especially after 5 minutes.
It's fascinating, and that Brad pretty much fought off Aaron Baines and whoever else wanted to carry him up the stairs. But that's who Brad is. Brad wants to be, and that's that. It's just another little slice that gives a little glimpse into like what an amazing person Brad is. And even today at the press conference, Gordon says, "Yeah, I had breakfast with Brad." You know, they're so throwing it up. Like, he wants to be a part of it. I really think what's amazing to me is that Brad is sitting there. And they're 0-2. He's got to figure out how to, like, rescue his season with what he's got left. And yet he's still calling Frank Vogel on his way to the arena and being like, how do I keep Gordon engaged? And I don't know how he balances that stuff. Like, for me, I got to focus on one task. Brad's like, how do I keep Gordon engaged?
Should have focused more on Jenga, bro.
Sore subject. How do I focus on making sure Gordon Hayward gets through this rehab process for the next 5 months and still get my team to be competitive? And he did both. That six straight wins. And it's fascinating. Like, Brad is just a magician.
Yeah. And I have to think.
A strong magician who is capable of carrying.
I have to think, like, Gordon Hayward, when he thinks about his decision this summer and reflects on it, he's got to think, like, I did well. Like, Brad Stevens literally... Like, I had this horrific injury, and it was horrible, and it sucks, and it's going to take me a long time to come back. But Brad has done everything for me. He's calling people to see how to keep me engaged during recovery. He's at my bedside in the hospital. He's
bringing him a basketball.
He's bringing me a basketball. He's taking me out to breakfast. Like, he is going above and beyond what he has to do as a basketball coach. And you have to think, when Hayward's... So, like, not only the fact that the Celtics are 6-2 and they have the number one defense and they have all this young talent and their actual basketball situation looks great, but when he thinks about, like, signing with Brad Stevens, which was clearly a big draw for him, he's got to be like, that was a good call by me.
He went out of his way today to sort of bring it up. It was like unprompted. The quote got out there like, you know, I don't regret signing in Boston. And people were like, whoa, did someone ask him if he all of a sudden regretted it? And no, he was just like, he was stressing that, you know, even despite this injury, despite like how things have played out, he is thrilled because he has a coach like Brad who is still dotting after him and making sure he's okay and, you know, the support of the fan base. I thought that was the, like, the coolest line of that story. Well, two things. Besides Brad carrying him, but then that he only had like one aspirin while they snapped his ankle.
Yeah, that's
back.
Tough.
I mean, wow.
That's tough.
And like, I mean, load me up with medication. My ankle is at 90 degrees the wrong way. Give me everything you've got in that trainer's room. But also that, you know, again, that he's only scored one basket as a Celtic and he feels an attachment to the program and to the fans. And that's cool that he's only had this small sample size and that he could really just check out and be like, start over next year, but that he's engaged and that Brad's found a way to make sure that he's a part of it all.
Yeah. I really think he's got to be like, yeah.
Made the right decision.
Made the right call to go to Boston, even though things obviously didn't work out the way he wanted to his first year. Brad is a special guy. He really is. Like, seeing what he's done with Gordon, seeing what he's done with everyone, he's a different level.
Kyrie all defense.
Kyrie leading the league in steals. God, who would have guessed that one? You predicted that in your NBA season awards column,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had that, and I had Shemi Ojeleye having a better block and steal rate. those were my two big predictions.
Yeah, who cares about block and steal rate? If you can guard anyone in front of you, it's kind of a big deal from what I've heard.
I mean, he looks pretty good out there.
From what I've heard, that's a pretty big deal. All right. You guys got any more thoughts?
I think we should talk about this amazing hotel suite there.
Yeah, like, how did you get this?
Jay is like balling on the road.
What?
He's got two bathrooms.
What do you say when you check in?
I say hello. I'm Matthew King, which is my real name. I don't know if anyone knows that. And
you not both of our first names legally are Matthew.
Hi, MJ King.
Yeah, he's also Matthew Katz over here.
Why? Okay, hold on. Tangent. Why doesn't anyone want to go by Matthew?
My dad's name is Matthew, so they didn't want me to call little Matt or Matty or anything like that.
Matty King.
So they went with J, which is my middle initial.
Wait, what's your middle name?
John.
Wait, so there's not even a J?
I mean, there's a J at the beginning of John.
Yeah, but like that doesn't count.
I'm
W. Forsberg.
I have numerous cousins named John. So it became J. But they knew they were going to call me
Jay. Did you ever think at any point, like, go back? Because, like, writers have that writer snob thing where they're like, Michael J.
I'm not much of a writer. I'm not much of a writer, so I don't know if that's snob.
Oh, you got my email?
That email was fierce.
And what was the way with your excuse?
People, this is not going to be a good podcast. None of your listeners know who I am, but I...
He's Fred Katz, a.k.a. Matt Katz.
My third grade teacher started calling me Fred, and everyone started calling me Fred after that, and I have been Fred ever since. And that is really the reason.
No reason in particular?
There is no reason. My third grade teacher just started calling me Fred, and all my friends started calling me Fred.
Do you think he knew your name was different, or did he just enjoy calling you something different?
No. He knew my name. He knew my name.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. He was my third grade teacher, and it was a class of like 18, middle of the year.
Let's call this guy Fred.
Started calling me Fred.
If I was a third grade teacher,
as like a jokey nickname, started calling me Fred. And
that's
then
a
everyone,
weird joke.
And
weird
then
joke.
And then everyone started calling me Fred, and it just kind of became my name by the time I was like 11. It was just like my name. Like, I was Fred in the school directory. I was Fred in the attendance lists. My school email eventually ended up being Fred. It was
what do you put on your SATs? What's on your driver's license?
Matthew. It's my legal... Fred is not at all a part of my name.
Have you thought about legally changing it?
Yes. But it's a pain to change your name. So I don't enjoy paperwork.
Meta world peace, baby.
I'm a very unproductive human being. If there's not something I have to do, I'm not going to do it. And I don't have to change my name. I often have people write checks to Fred Katz and I can't cash them.
I can reveal this now.
I can't deposit them.
Really?
I still deposit.
Yeah, my name's not Fred.
I still deposit J. King checks.
Yeah, you could you could definitely do that.
I definitely can't. They're like, where is Fred in your name? Absolutely nowhere. My name is David. My name is Matthew David Katz. That's it. It's very Jewish.
One of my good friends is named Matt Katz.
We call you D. Katz. Because that's his.
Yeah,
you know,
it would be like me going by his D. name. Katz.
I'm actually a Christopher.
Oh, shocker there. All right, I think that's enough. We appreciate you.
Wait, we'll end on this. Do you think this is fool's gold, 6-2, like what they've been doing?
They've played a lot of crappy opponents.
Milwaukee, some of these wins have been good.
Okay, Milwaukee's okay.
At home, mechanized.
Milwaukee's good.
Okay, sick. Milwaukee's halfway decent. Awesome. No.
The Kings, the next thing. I get it.
I think that their defense is very much improved. I think they have a lot of talent. I think their offense has.
Kyrie hasn't even gone.
I think their offense has a lot of potential.
Right.
I think there's room for this team to grow. I don't think they're where they're going to be at the end of the year. I don't think they've been like six wins in a row good, except they've played a lot of bad teams.
Sure. Okay, so everyone freaked out after the Gordon Hayward injury happens.
They're going to have a good to great team. No, I don't know about great.
Are they top four?
I see great as in Warriors. Warriors are great.
Where are they in the East? Because
they could even finish number one. I don't think Cleveland regular season wise is going to be great.
Cleveland looks so bad.
I mean, Toronto, Washington, all those teams are flawed. So nothing's out of the picture for them regular season wise.
Yeah, but don't forget about the Magic.
Magic are sick.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon's a real deal.
Aaron Gordon is kind
this
of just a,
this is just the warm-up game for the big one.
Aaron Gordon shooting 150%
as well. Matthew Gordon.
Speaking of Aaron Gordon's name, did you see that incredible
tweet? Was amazing.
Yeah, that was the best tweet of the century.
Yeah.
I'll actually tell the story. So back at the Boston Globe, we used to use Instant Messenger to communicate. And one day I got an IM from someone, and I think the screen name was something like Import Turbo or something. And he was like, hey, nice name. And my screen name was just Chris Forsberg. And I was like, thanks. And he's like, you a fan or something? And I was like, what? He's like, this is Chris Forsberg, the race car driver. And I was like, well, this is Chris Forsberg, the journalist. I mean, I didn't know what to say or whatever. And the weirdest part of the story, though, is I go to his website. He had personalized T-shirts on there, and our signature was exactly the same.
Not like Kyle Singler's. Kyle Singler signature.
He prints it. That's amazing.
It really is an amazing thing.
That's amazing.
I quickly trademarked all Chris Forsberg things IM name, email,
amazing,
everything.
Amazing.
The only thing some Brazilian software engineer won the race to Chris Forsberg on Twitter. So if anyone would like to go badger him to tell him to give me that name, I'm not going to switch. I'm going to keep ESPN Forsberg, but I've always wanted for my personal account, my secret personal account that I actually follow people
Your
from.
Secret personal account that will be Chris Forsberg. That's not exactly a secret personal account.
No, but now it is. Right now it is because I don't have Chris Forsberg. Right.
What was your screen name?
Egghead82287.
What was it?
Egghead82287.
A-Kid?
Egghead.
Egghead?
Egghead, yep.
What are the numbers?
82287, that's my birthday. August 22nd, 1987.
Okay, that's solid.
What was yours?
My final one was FreddyK89. But before that, it was JeterFan0626749.
All right, we got to end it here. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Just to recap, Forsberg won a Jenga.
Forsberg did not win a Jenga. Thank you for listening. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales.